You're listening to Future Thinking from Stylists, the show where our analysts, alongside industry thought leaders, unpack the big trends you need to know about. Find out more about what the future holds for your business at stylists.com.
Hello, and welcome to Future Thinking from Stylists. I'm your host, Leila Petra. In today's episode, I spoke to Stylists' content director, Mandy Savin, who heads up all consumer lifestyle content at Stylists, a remit that comprises of consumer attitudes, food, beverage, travel, hospitality, and technology. Today, we delve into the pivotal developments currently unfolding within the food and health space, from the rise of ultra-processed foods and the popularity boom of weight management drugs like Ozempic, to AI's impact on agritech and future-proofing the food of tomorrow.
Talking about this current climate and with current inflation levels and this ongoing cost of living crisis, we know that a lot of consumers have had to shift their shopping habits, tightening grocery budgets, as well as perhaps going for more cost and convenience conscious options versus maybe a product that's higher in price but higher in nutritional value. What do you think this shift means for consumers in terms of longer term health?
I think it's a complex state of affairs because not everything that's an affordable price is necessarily nutritionally lacking, and not everything that's nutritionally dense or advantageous is necessarily going to be too expensive to buy. So it really depends on the product and the category that you're looking at. For me, I think achieving healthy, affordable food at a daily level is a massive challenge for many families who are really struggling under the weight of inflation. Even though we see that inflation has improved, it's really problematic. And I think at the extreme end, we've got a lot of families who are simply struggling to put food on the table. And in that case, your cheaper, perhaps more filling, easier to prepare options are going to be the ones that they gravitate towards. But I think coupled with this, the issue is that people are really time poor. So not only having cost an issue when it comes to choosing your groceries and your meals, we just don't have time to cook from scratch and to have a level of control over the ingredients and the clean ingredients that we might want to have in our meals. So in that way, the tendency is to go for items that are really quick to rustle up and have some of the work taken from you and let the brand take that on. So we're looking at prepared meals or pre-prepared meals, but there's a real opportunity for brands to step in here and improve their options. So giving you basically cost-conscious food, so making it affordable, making it nutritious, and making it really tasty and delicious to eat, because at the end of the day, that's really what drives consumer purchases.
Just picking up on the idea of clean ingredients that you talked about, we're seeing this heightened consumption of ultra-processed foods at the moment. And I think that inevitably leads onto weight management issues that we're also seeing. We're seeing this popularity boom in the market and across media as well with weight management drugs like Ozempic. How is this impacting consumers?
Yeah, this is a very kind of nuanced and complex conversation, because these kind of drugs are having an enormous impact on the consumer landscape and the consumer psyche. We've seen record numbers of consumers really trying to get their hands on these medications, and to a degree, access has become wider. So we have more people trying them out now. There's advantages and there's disadvantages. One of the major advantages that people say is that these medications reduce food noise, which is basically the destructive inner dialogue that people encounter constantly. It reduces the amount of tussle they have in their brain. Should I eat this? Shouldn't I eat that? And it just eliminates that. So it takes away a lot of cravings, which can be really empowering for people and help them to really gain a sense of control over their intake. But then on the other hand, I do think that if you have a disordered relationship with food, those drugs in the long term are not going to solve it. Of course, there's success stories, and then there are stories of people struggling again with their mental health and their physical health when they go off the drugs. So is it a long-term solution? Right now, I'm not convinced. Is it helpful? Yes. In this moment, it is. So we'll see how it continues to play out.
And inevitably, this has a domino effect on the F&B sector itself. How do you see that impacting the industry?
It's been a real mixed bag from what we've seen. On one hand, we've got brands and supermarkets reporting that sales of packaged foods like biscuits and confectionery have gone down. We're seeing in some cases a 10 to 20% year on year fall in those kind of sales. And for instance, in the US, Walmart has reported a pullback of overall basket, which is obviously concerning for the brand. But then on the other hand, you've got other brands who are saying, actually, we're not worried about this at all. We're not going to panic. It's fine because we offer quality food. We try to premiumize the eating experience. There's always going to be time for indulgence. And we know that this is true. So they are anchoring down to their core values of being premium quality eats that people will always seek out in different food and drink occasions. So I think for brands in the FMCG space, what they need to do now is really identify the occasions where they can still find relevance and where people want to indulge in treat-worthy foods, because it's perhaps the cheaper calories that consumers are more prepared to sacrifice. But again, this comes back to your question earlier about cost and convenience. It's a privilege to be able to pick and choose what types of foods and brands you would rather have. If you've only got a certain budget, you're going to go with the brand that fits that budget. So there's a lot of kind of external factors that impact the experience as well.
It seems like brands are obviously having to face all these different challenges. One, I think, current and future challenge that we're seeing play out is obviously with AI, and that impacting all industries at the moment. It's already impacting the F&B sector, but how are you seeing that play out?
It has immeasurable potential to impact all sectors, and especially in food and drink, we're already starting to see that it's moving mountains in some ways. First of all, AI is showing up quite prolifically in flavor development and ingredient development, which is quite an exciting space because the AI can often go where brands and consumers are afraid to go themselves, and it will suggest weird and wonderful and wild combinations that we may not necessarily have thought to connect ourselves. And everyone from big brands to tiny challenger brands can level the playing field in the flavor stakes. I've got this product from Coca-Cola, which is their Y3000 edition. And this was basically created using an AI to come up with the flavor combination. And we're yet to crack it open, but there's been a lot of buzz about it on social media. And apparently it tastes like all the red flavors of these soft drinks got together and just ramped up and amped up all the flavors that you'd associate with that. So that's really fun for brands to experiment with. But I think in terms of actually pushing the industry forward, AI can really help us from a sustainability point of view. And many companies, scientists, researchers, universities are finding ways to create ingredients and resources that we wouldn't have otherwise. And this is very prevalent in vegan or plant-based versions of animal counterparts. For example, there's a company called Shiru, and they've created a product called OleoPro, and it's a plant-based fat that basically performs exactly like its animal-based counterpart, which is amazing. So products that use it have that juicy, fatty mouthfeel that you really want, and that's very difficult to achieve. And the AI can let companies like that really innovate at such a faster rate than what you would normally do in your traditional kind of realm of research and development.
So yeah, with this scientific pursuit of new proteins that you just touched on, brands are creating all these kind of alternative, sometimes wacky and bizarre products. Do you think consumers will be readily receptive to that? Are they open-minded towards that? Or do you see a long way to go for consumers to shift their behavior towards those products once they do hit the wider market?
Yes and no. Firstly, you need these ingredients and products to pass FDA approval and similar accreditations and labels. So we need to make sure that they're all safe and good for us to eat. I think that it depends which type of consumer you're talking about and the region in which they're based. But we're seeing some really surprising evidence crop up of enthusiasm and uptake. So Southeast Asian consumers, 93% of them say that they are very willing to try hybrid products that combine animal proteins with plant proteins. And that's a really encouraging and progressive number. And it wasn't too long ago that when you mentioned the word cell cultured meat, for example, people would really squirm in their seats and think that's really off-putting. I'm not going there. And now people are going there and more companies are using that method and precision fermentations coming forward. And it's not only about meat, we're seeing cooking oil that's created in this way. And we're seeing even coffee that reproduced at a cellular level with molecular precision to taste, aroma, caffeine content. And I think it's this, it's that people, once they realize that there's a nutritional advantage and there's a taste advantage, and we're ticking the sustainability boxes, all of a sudden, the consumption of these previously scary and alienating products becomes very appealing and very attractive to them.
More from Mandy in a moment, but just a quick pause to say that for our members, you can find our two full-length reports covering key food and health trends for 2024 and 2025, as well as Food and Drink's AI Future report on the site, and a new pop culture trend drop from our senior pop culture correspondent, Julia, on our TikTok channel at We Are Stylists. And if you're not already a member and would like to find out how access to Stylists could benefit your business, email innovation@stylist.com or visit www.stylist.com/membership. Now back to my interview with Mandy.
I was just wondering, going back to as well to AI, how are you seeing AI also impacting that sustainable path with agriculture and with agritech and AI-fueled farming? What exciting developments are kind of happening there?
Again, there's massive potential here for AI and other agritech to really help us achieve our sustainability goals. What I'm noticing in particular here is AI helping us to keep crops healthy and also to reduce waste, which we know is one of the biggest challenges. We need to feed more and more people. Our global population is swelling. We can't be wasting all of our resources like we used to do. We have to find better ways of preserving and conserving edible foodstuffs, and that's from the farm all the way through to the supermarket shelf. There's a really nice case study. An AI is being used by a company in Morocco called DeepLeaf, and their AI is basically able to scan harvests and crops, but on an individual basis. So they'll basically identify which exact plant is poorly and needs some kind of rehabilitation plan, which is probably spraying pesticide or something similar on it. But there's a little robot then that tootles around by the crops, identifying which ones it needs to treat. And then only those specific plants are treated. And we're seeing a 40% reduction in pesticide use in fields using this. It's just really impressive how they're using the AI for sustainability and to also create healthier outcomes, because we want to limit pesticide use as well. And we're seeing a lot of this kind of thing come forward now.
With all that in mind, what would you say then is the key takeaways for both brands and individuals listening?
I think brands should definitely consider what new kind of food tech like AI, cellular culture, even service robotics can do for them. Where can you gain in terms of efficiencies? Where can you make things healthier? Where can you make gains in sustainability? Not everything is going to be applicable for every brand and every category. So it might be a case of wading through the options to find something that truly works. And I think what brands in the space need to really realize is that taste and texture of food will eclipse everything else in terms of just ticking all the boxes, the appealing sort of taste and how the food hits you in the palate and the mouthfeel of it is so important, because that's the factor that's going to keep someone coming back to you for repeat purchases. if the taste factor isn't 100%, you can only go so far, no matter how much AI you've used. So basically, don't be provocative for provocation's sake. Use the tech towards an end and make sure that you're really bringing value to your product through all of these new exciting processes that are now at our fingertips.
That's it for this edition of Future Thinking. I hope you enjoyed it and I'd love to hear your feedback. On X, we're at @stylists_live, and on Instagram and TikTok, you can find us at @WeAreStylists. See you next time.
You've been listening to Future Thinking from Stylists, the show where our analysts, alongside industry thought leaders, unpack the big trends you need to know about. Find out more about what the future holds for your business at stylists.com. And if you like what you heard today, make sure you subscribe to Future Thinking in iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts to hear new episodes as soon as they're available.